CPA Mobile.
I had a piece of French bread in my mouth with a chicken wing. N0TR.
Bread and a chicken wing. We call them wings down here.
It, buddy Steve told me just a while ago.
Yeah, the sports club, he's one of the pros, and he's from Italy, and he has a real thick accent, but he speaks very good English, and, but he'll say, you know, right here, and I'll say, no, Guacamo, no, that's not the way we say it. Down here in the south, we say right, chunk. You want us to stand right, chunk.
You cut off the switch, cut off the power, and mash the buttons instead of pushing the buttons and turning the switch off.
You mash the buttons and, what is it, you turn on your blinker.
Pipe instead of a garden hose, Arg.
I teach him one thing at a time, you know, he's pretty thick with the language barrier. He just looks at me real funny. But anyway, but if he's talking anywhere within earshot on at the sports club, you can hear his voice. It's very distinct.
Yeah, we had a guy called Arkansas John. He was a machinist up there in Kansas, and he was a good old boy. But when he'd laugh, him or Charlie Lydon, you could hear him 300 feet down the shop with all the noise.
People like that. My dad had a friend taught English at Greenville High School, James Callaghan, and James had one of the strangest laughs I've ever heard. I've never heard anybody that laughed like him.
You mentioned the high school. I have to laugh at this political correctness at times. They're going to take the word Dixie out of the fight song for Greenville High School. Somebody was offended.
I can remember when I was in junior high, but I was going to Wade Hampton, you know, after I got out of junior high school. And so I was going to their football games, and I'd sit there with the band, you know, right out the next bleacher over from the band, because I was in the band at my junior high school, and they would, if they scored a touchdown, they played Dixie. And I can remember when they made them stop playing it, and I thought, you know, what's the deal? I just didn't get it. Still don't get it.
That makes two of us. I'm from Kansas, and I'm proud. I always tell, when I'm talking to my friends up north, I'm down here in the Confederacy, or I'm down here in Dixieland, and I got a little skeleton that sits on the table in the front room there, and that's what it plays. Oh, well, I wish I was from Dixie, and I danced to it every time, and so's Mom. I don't understand it. When I bet you there isn't one in 1,000 can even tell you when the Emancipation Proclamation, what it was or when it was written. So that ain't all. Just any of this politically correct stuff, it just irks me.
I'll just get used to it, because this is only going to get worse.
And win the election. I mean, the Democrats win the election. Bite my tongue, Tom.
You know, I'm moving to Australia. I wonder how the propagation is down there.
By the way, I was testing my antenna the other night, and I just turned it on for 5 or 10 minutes, and I worked a guy in, he was a EW, he was in Belarus. I call it Russia, formally. And another one in Trinidad and Tobago, which is a hop, skip, and a jump. But the antenna's working good. And most of the time, those guys just want to give you $5.99, but he wanted to have a little conversation, so I was pleased.
Guys, I was listening, and I was on 17 a good bit yesterday and on sideband, and there was a good many people on there. I made contact with a guy in Brazil, and there were some guys in the States, and they wanted to chit chat and not just make a contact and move on. And but I tell you, 17 was it was really going strong yesterday.
Well, yeah, Dave, I'll have to check that out. W4DJW said I must love 17 one time, he was telling me, because he saw me up there a lot. And that's very true. I always enjoyed it. There's a nice group up there usually. So I'll have to check that out. I've just been getting things back going so I can get back on the air the way I want to. And I did find the problem with my beverage yesterday. That turns out it was an open circuit. And one of the things that delayed it was I had a couple of bad jumpers, which out of about 15 jumpers, I picked the two that were bad. And so I redone those. Just a little old Radio Shack alligator jumpers when I was shorting some things out to check. But I did discover what the problem with the open circuit was, and it was a sharp shovel from my wife digging.
I got all that except for the last couple of words. I was listening to you on the input. I'm sitting here at the Wellness Center downtown Greenville.
I'm on, Dave. I'm violating principle here, eating chicken and driving down Highway 14, I guess, or Buncombe. Right here by the Greenville Hospital System, prisoner now.
Arena, the Bon Secours Wellness Arena, used to be the Violet Center, and then Bon Secours bought the advertisement for it.
Yeah, just passing Prisma Hills here on Buncombe, if you know where that's at. North of, Highway 14, Bernice? Anyways, just passed it. Some McDonald's and Bojangles, I think. We're headed down to Daughters and going to take some chicken down to her and some breadsticks that Bernice made, and she wanted a couple of things from Aldi's, and Bernice went in there, and I finally had to go in there and drag her out. I thought she was going to buy two things for Amy, and she bought half the store as usual, which I don't care, but I had my chicken wings waiting on me. And by the way, reference that antenna, I found out the problem with it was Bernice's shovel out in her garden had cut it in half.
Aaron, I've had that happen to me. I didn't do it, but some guys with a post hole digger did it. And however wide a cut a post hole digger makes, that's how much they cut out, and about 5 or 6 inches of it. And, but anyway, I got my antenna back up and all is well.
I think I got this Sunday going to church people in front of me here. I don't know. I got to get out of their way. They're around them. Yeah, it was either that or the rotor tiller, and she seems to think it was the shovel. But anyways, I found that, and then I was talking to Bill here a while back, and he said, well, Tom, just run your antenna analyzer on it. And so I finally cut out the bad part and stuck the antenna analyzer on there, and wow, 1.2, 1.4 to 1 all the way across all the bands, so I was just pretty tickled with that.
car, you're not going to get much better than that. So, yeah, I'd definitely be happy with that. I can't remember, he put an analyzer on mine, and honestly, I can't remember the readings, but the radio tunes up on any of the bands, so, and so I haven't had any problems with that.
This is Gerald TR. Well, I'm doing pretty good talking with French bread in my mouth here. anyways, JBL, I haven't graphed the big antenna, but I did run the graph on the, it's called Function 7, and I ran that on the Beveridge, and I didn't know you could even use that on the Beveridge, like a dummy. Bill told me, and it was doing all kinds of crazy things till I found that. I don't like that RG6 that you make those antennas out of, because it's called flooded RG6. If you ever get a place where you can have one, mine's not near as long as, well, for example, Bob put up a 600-foot one up in the mountains here this last weekend, up at Fred's place. But I'd have to go out across the timber that wasn't mine, which is okay. Nobody cares. But I don't have one that long, so I'm very happy with what it does on 40, though, and all at once it just quit. So I ran some new number 14 solid wire, and then I got to go back and put some tie wraps on it and that, but I'm pretty well done with that. Then I got to run a piece through the air where Bernice chopped into it underground, so maybe next time she won't be able to hit it with a shovel.
Get that shovel out of her hand. find out what she's using it for and tell her you'll do it next time.
I doubt that.
Yeah. Well, I was changing the subject. I was up in Maggie Valley last week, and this time last week, and we were seeing my sister and brother-in-law, and we stayed at Lake Junaluska a couple of nights, and well, I tell you, the leaves were just beautiful. I think they're peak next week, and what was I going to tell you about that? Oh, shoot. Well, I tell you, you know, I get into a story, and then I get too much detail, and then I forget about what I was gonna tell you about. Oh, this is terrible. Okay, well, anyway, you carry on, KB4CBA.
Oh, my train of thought, that happens, Dave, especially when you're concentrating on driving that, or you miss an exit. You were talking about the leaves up in Maggie Valley. Well, you better enjoy them while you can, because if Mr. Biden gets in there, he's going to eliminate all fossil fuels, and we're going to go to solar and wind power. And so gas will be about $6 a gallon.
So what's $6 a gallon?
Well, if they eliminate our petroleum industry and our coal industry here and all the plants here in the United States and go to solar and wind energy, which they that's their stand on it, I would estimate you'll be paying $6 a gallon for gas, because there just ain't enough solar and there ain't enough wind.
We're going to, you know, electric and have charging stations everywhere.
What they use to generate those charging stations, fossil fuel, Dave. So you still are contaminating the atmosphere, and they say that's they're going to shut all that down and go to solar and and wind energy. There just ain't enough of it out there. The only hope that I see in that respect for the future is that they have a fusion reactor they're building, and I believe it's in France. You'd have to look it up. And you put in something like 5 megawatts, and you get out like 55 megawatts. They're using isotopes from uranium and tritium and deuterium, or how you pronounce that. But fusion's like what occurs on the sun. And right now, our plants that use nuclear are fissionable materials.
Plenty of that stuff around me, that's for sure. Oh, I tell you, I was telling my wife, I said, one of these days we'll go to a fair or some kind of, you know, get together like that, and they'll have an internal combustion engine on display. And they may even start it up so you can hear what it used to sound like.
And I had to laugh. My neighbor, as far as I'm concerned, he was a genius. And he built steam locomotive replicas. And not engines like you see on the railroad tracks, but steam engines that were used for industrial power and that. And a guy come out down in the south part of Kansas, and I forgot Bernice's construction down here. Anyways, he came out with a car that was air power, and it was just a stripped down set of wheels and about it. And very highly, extremely inefficient. But Merle went over and pulled out a book, and they touted that as being something new that they just invented in the 80s back then. And he pulled out a book, and some old boy had already made something like that back in the early 1900s.
They had steam tractors. I think they had them back in the late 1800s. I don't know about automobiles, but I tell you, I learned a lot about that watching the Mike and Frank show. And I tell you, it's so interesting. Oh, me. Well, I'm pulling into the garage here, so let me say adios, and y'all be careful out there, and have a safe trip home, and tell Bernice hello, and tell her to make you behave. And 0TRKB4CBA, clear after yours.
I was just watching the traffic here. They got a flagman up in front of us. Yeah, there's a lot of things out there that people don't realize they already invented a long time ago. But fusion that reactor's due to go online in 2025, and that'll be really something if, as far as efficiency goes. But the wind and the solar, that ain't going to cut it if you got to replace everything. Even hydroelectric, there's just not enough of it out there. 73's Dave, you take care. KB4CBA and 0TR, clear.